our peace disturbed too.
Disturb, deceive, divert, and delude, which are all ways the enemy can try to get us out of and away from the perfect love of God. So, first of all, we know that he disturbs the thoughts. Second of all, we know that he will change your circumstances or have you see the circumstances in the soulless realm. And he's going to divert you away from the word, and then he's going to take you away from the Lord. So all these things, of course, and with the examples we had, move people into fear. But then we know that perfect love casts out fear. Now, fear connects you to the thing that you're afraid of. And we discussed that last week. So I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where we're going to see something. Beginning with verse 2. Well, actually 1. We then, as working together with him, beseech also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Now Paul is saying here, and he's writing to the Corinthians, we know that you've received Christ. We know that, and we are imploring you, we are begging you to understand that you have not received the ability, the capability, the anointing, the power, and the equipment of God for nothing. It is for a reason that the grace has been given to us. For, he says, I have heard you in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I suffered thee. Now, suffered thee, or succored, as some people say, is help. I have helped you in your time of need for salvation. Salvation is already done, but now listen. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Where else do we hear now is? Hebrews 11. Now faith is. Faith is now. Faith always updates itself. Well, here we see salvation now is. Salvation is something that we must call upon every day. Not that we be saved again, but that we walk in the grace of God. Salvation updates itself continually. There should not be a day of our lives go by that we do not walk in sozo. Salvation in the Greek is sozo. It means whatever you need is already yours. You need healing, you need help, you need help, you need finances, you need this, you need that, whatever it is, it's already yours because salvation is now. Not only are we to receive it, but we are to give it. Then we are to give no offense, and we are to keep on going. And Paul says here, in all things, we should be approving ourselves as the servants of God. In much patience, in affliction, verse 4, in necessities, in distresses, in strife, in imprisonment, tumult, labors, washings and fastings. Whatever we are going through, salvation is now. We've got to get to the point where faith is now. I have faith, I have to have salvation now. My needs are met, whatever it would be. By pureness, knowledge, long-suffering, kindness, the Holy Ghost, love unfeigned, the word of truth, the power of God, the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. Honor and dishonor. People are going to, we are walking in honor, and they are going to see us as being dishonored. By evil report and a good report. Deceivers and yet true, unknown and well known, dying and living, chastened and not killed, sorrowful but rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich. How can you make many rich if you're poor? You give what you have. You give what you received in salvation. Sozo. When you do that, you are making others rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. If you have Christ, you truly possess all things. Now today we're going to be on, and we're going to concentrate on, in verse, let me see here, verse 7. It talks about the armor of righteousness. Righteousness is right standing. Righteousness is without sin. Righteousness is standing in the authority of Jesus. Righteousness is doing the right thing for the right reason because it's right. You cannot do the things of God without the armor. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, We hear very much about the armor. And I want you, we're going to begin with verse 10. We're going to concentrate on the armor. I want you to understand this, that you have on already some of the armor. But there are still parts of it that we need to put on. And Paul says to the church of Ephesus, put it all on. We need it all. If you don't have it all, you're not going to succeed. So, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. His might is his anointing. His grace. Might is power. So, be strong in the power of his power or his grace. Put on the whole armor of God that you would be able or may be able to stand against all the strategies. That word wiles means strategies or plans of the devil. What are his strategies or plans to see you fail? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, which are all satanic spirits in the satanic kingdom. The armor then is spiritual armor for a spiritual battle. We do not fight people. You fight the spirits that are in people. And we need to realize that. That's why it's important that we have on the armor. Now the armor is if you picture a knight in armor, he is totally covered from the top of his head to his feet, including his feet. First of all, there is a girdle, which is a belt. And that goes from the waist to the knee. Then the gospel, our feet are shod in the gospel, but in the natural, we're going to describe armor in the natural. So, the armor goes from the waist to the knee. The feet are shod with a shoe that has heavy spikes on the bottom, or a heavy thing so that when they step on something, it will be crushed. They cover the feet up to the knee. So therefore, from the waist all the way down, they are totally covered. Then you have a breastplate. The breastplate covers you from your shoulders or from your neck to your waist. So now the only thing left open is the head. So the armor of a soldier would have a garment, a metal piece that would cover your entire head down to your neck, and then it would have a piece that would flop down like this, so that you could see through it, and you could breathe through it, and you could speak through it, but you couldn't be touched. Now that armor that we see, that I described to you in the natural, is the same type of armor that we have in the spiritual. And this is the way Paul describes it. First of all, he says in verse 13, because of all the rulers of darkness, you should take unto you the whole armor of God. Again, he stresses whole armor. Why do you need the whole armor? That you will be able to withstand, and having done all, to stand. So, the armor gives us the ability to stand against and to withstand any attack the enemy gives us. Stand, therefore, we are never to turn and run. We are to stand. You will notice that he does never mention fight. Right now, we have on the armor, covered from head to toe, spiritually. We stand having our loins from the waist to the knee girded with the truth. What is the truth? The truth is the word. The word is the truth. It's the knowledge of the truth that sets you free. It's the knowledge of the truth that keeps you free. It's the word that you must support in every situation because you are in a spiritual battle. What is the word? It is spirit and it is truth. Therefore, if you are going to fight in a spiritual battle, you need to use the word, which is a spiritual weapon. But you need to know the truth of the word first. You can't use the word if you don't know the truth. You can't find healing if you don't know the word on healing. And so, you have to be girded with that. Now, I want you to understand something about girding here, and that is this. The other place that we see girding, as in effect of lifting something up or being attached to, the word gird means to bind to yourself. Remember when Elijah was up on the mountain and God said, gird up your loins, pick up your loins, pick up, gird up your loins, pick up your skirt. He was to wrap his garments around him tightly, tuck them under his belt, so he could run, and run quickly, which he did. When the word says, and 1 Peter tells us, 1 Peter 1:13 says, gird up the loins of your mind. The loins are the reproductive part of a body. It's from the loins that the seed of a man comes forth. So in the natural, the reproductive part would be the lower part of your body. But the word of God says, in 1 Peter 1:13, gird up the loins of your mind. You know why? Because your mind is a reproductive center as well. Your mind is a reproductive center into the spirit realm. Your mind is a reproductive center of your soul. Therefore, if you have your mind girded up with the truth of the word, you are going to be in a position where when the devil comes at you with these four D's, with the disturbing and the deceiving and the deluding and all that, you are going to respond with the truth which has been in your mind, that dropped to your spirit, and you're going to respond with the word. However, if you don't have your mind girded with the word of God, this is what's going to happen. Your emotions are going to line up with what you see. You're going to be moved in the soulless realm, and you will never accomplish for God what he would have you to accomplish, and you will never have the victory. So it's an important thing to realize that in your part of the soul is what? Your intellect. What is intellect? It's knowledge. Knowing what the word says against knowing what the world says. We have natural knowledge by when we go to school and learning to read and the things that we do naturally. However, we have spiritual knowledge that can only come from the word of God. So our spiritual knowledge has got to override that we have to have our loins girded up. It means we have to be equipped, ready to run, ready to stand, ready to fight. Equipped for battle is girded. And so you want to have your mind girded as well as your loins, because it's from your mind that the battle comes spiritually, not from the loins, which is below your waist. So if your emotions override your knowledge of the word, you're going to move in the soulless realm. But if your intellect overrides your emotions, you will move in the spirit realm of God. Very simple, but very, very profound. Again, if your emotions override your knowledge or your intellect, then you're going to move in the soulless realm. What is the soul? The soul is the mind, the will, the intellect. And you're going to will to move the way the devil has it go. However, if your intellect, your knowledge of the word, supersedes your emotions, and you say, I know what my emotions are saying, but I know what the word says, then you will not be overridden, and you will win. Write this down if you're taking notes. As your soul goes, your life goes. As your soul goes, your life goes. Why is that? Because last week we had Romans 8:1-2. And remember, if you walk in the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you will not be walking in the law of sin and death. But as your soul goes, as your soul yields to your emotions, you are walking in the law of sin and death. As your soul yields to your intellect, which overrides your emotions, you are walking in the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which is your salvation. Whatever you need is already there. Isaiah 33, Mark, Ephesians 6, because that will be where we'll be coming back to. Isaiah 33:15-16. He that walketh righteously and speaks uprightly, he that despises again of oppression, that shakes his hands from holding a bribe, and stops his ears from hearing of blood, and shuts his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rock. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Now you have your loins girded with the truth of the word. You have on the breastplate of righteousness. Notice, and when we turn back to Ephesians, you will see that you already have those two pieces of armor on. They're with you. They get with you when you take Jesus as your Lord. You have the breastplate of righteousness, and you have that. But if you are wearing the breastplate of righteousness, if you are walking in the salvation daily, as salvation is now, you will walk righteously. You will walk the way God walks. You will talk the way he talks, and you will speak uprightly. You will say the right thing. What is that? You will say what the Word of God says. So the armor now, we have two pieces of armor on, and the second piece is the breastplate of righteousness. You will notice here that it says, he will shake the one who walks that way, despises the gain of oppression. You know what oppressions are? They are deceitfulness, deceits of the enemy. So when the enemy comes at you and tries to deceive you, you are going to say, I'm not buying that. I am not buying that. I'm speaking the word. That shakes his hands from the holding of bride. You know what a bride is? A bride is a payment or something to lure. It's a lure. It will lure you away from doing the right thing. When the devil comes to lure you away by what you see, you back off and you say, not buying. I'm not taking any bribes. Nothing is going to bypass the word in my life. Now, we all come into the place where we are lured by the enemy. But it's up to you to take the stand because of salvation being now in your life. The one that holds, that stops his ears from hearing of God, stops his ears from hearing the wrong thing. You don't want to hear anything that goes against the blood of Jesus. You don't want to hear that. The blood of Jesus says what? Revelation 12:11. We overcome by the blood. So if you're going to listen to something about the blood, and the devil's going to say, you can't do this, you need to say, I overcome by the blood. You need to replace that. Shut his eyes from seeing evil. You don't want to look at the wrong stuff. You don't want to look at what the devil is showing you in the natural, because you're not moved by what you see in the natural. And folks, this is the battle. This is the final battle that we are going to be in until the rapture comes, is fighting the natural with the spiritual. People think the natural world is the world. They think the natural world is it. And the spirit world, well, you know, it's out there. That's totally wrong, and it's deception of the enemy. The spirit world is the real world. It's the world we can't see, but it governs everything in the natural world. Turn with me to John chapter 12. Just while you're doing that, the one who does that, who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, refusing to do the things of the enemy, will dwell on high. God will put us in high places, and he does. But we have our part to play. And how can God put you in a place of great trust if he can't trust you with a little thing? Jesus is coming back. Jesus is going to rule for 1,000 years. Where are the saints going to be? They're going to be ruling with him for that 1,000 years. But if he can't trust us in the little things, he could never trust us over great things. And this is the way it is. If he can't trust you with $10 to give him one, he can't trust you with $1,000,000 to give him 1,000. Or 10,000, or whatever it may be. And the point being, God always builds line upon line and precept upon precept. So now we have, in John chapter 12, beginning with verse 35, Jesus says this to his disciples, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. What is the light? The word is light and health. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word shows me where to walk. So Jesus is saying, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. And if you do not walk solely in the light, darkness begins to creep in and lure you away. For he that walks in darkness doesn't know where he's going. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. Do you know you are a child of light? You are a child of the Word. The Word is life and light to those that believe it. So just as you believe in Jesus and he is the life in the natural, the Word is the life in the spiritual realm. And then we go down to verse 37. He had done so many miracles, yet they believed not on him. How many miracles have you and I had in our lives? Starting with our salvation. Healing, big miracles, little miracles, seeing people saved, God's provision in different things, in different ways, and yet they believe not on him. When the chips are down, it's going to come right down to this. Are you going to walk in the light or are you going to walk in the darkness? Up to you. The soulless realm contains both. Because they could not believe, and why couldn't they believe? Verse 39 and 40 says, because Satan has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see nor understand with their heart and be converted, and he should heal them, and I should heal them. Salvation. Doesn't healing come with salvation? Doesn't conversion come with salvation? But if you do not believe what you have received, you're not going to walk in it. I'm saved. If I ask everybody in this room, are you saved? Everybody would say, definitely. Why would you even ask? I love God more than anything else. Do you really? Then why don't you believe him for whatever you need? Why don't you? You've been removed for your salvation, for this, for this, for this, for this. Sometimes we forget how many things, little things, he moved in. But if we can't believe him for the little things, we will never get to the big. And if we do believe him for the little things, and a big thing comes along, and we back off, then we're back into the darkness again. They couldn't believe because Satan blinded their hearts and their eyes. If you are blind to the things of God, you are walking blindly and you are going to fall. Now, Jesus said in verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. You'll notice the word should. It does not say will not. Should not, meaning it's your choice. You shouldn't abide in darkness if you are born again. But you could if you choose to go the soulless way. Whoever believes on me should not abide in the darkness. Your choice. And if any man hears my words and believes not, I don't judge him, because I didn't come to judge the world. I came to save the world. But he that rejects me and does not receive my words has one that does judge him. The words that I have spoken is your judge. What's going to be your final authority? What determines your victory or your defeat? It isn't the armor. It's whether you are walking in the light of the word or whether you are not. And that word is going to be your judge. And when we stand before the Lord, you know what he's going to say? Okay, here's the situation you were in on such and such a day, such and such a year. I told you that if you walk in the light, you should not abide in darkness. Well, yeah, you did, Lord. Okay. Then, my word judges you because I gave you the word in my situation. Let's just say, for example, prosperity. All right, Jesus said, you have my word, 3 John 2. It is my will that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. What is your soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions. Why didn't you follow your intellect? Listening to my word saying, you prosper. But you followed your emotions saying, well, I am. And so you left the light and you went into darkness. And the world is going to be our judge. Our failures are going to be judged by his word. I have not spoken of myself. Oh, verse 38. He that rejects me receives not my words, then the word will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Has the Father given us the commandment to walk and speak the way he walks and speaks? Yes, he has. He's given us the ability to do that. I know his commandment is life everlasting. Whatever I speak, as the Father said unto me, that's what I speak. That's where you must put your words right there. As the Father has said unto you, that's what you speak and nothing else. And if you yield to anything else, you're walking from the light of the Word into the darkness of the soul's realm. As the Father commanded Jesus, he commands us. If you abide in my Word and my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will and will be given me. My Word, my Word, my Word, my Word. The whole armor of God is geared to his Word. We have to realize that and we have to use it. Proverbs 4:18. The path of the just, or the righteous, is as the shining light. It shines more and more unto the perfect day. What is the word? It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore, the word is the light of the path that I walk in as a shining light. As, and more I use the word, the more powerful it becomes in my life. If I don't use the word, I never grow into the things that God has shown me to grow into. Verse 19 says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They don't know even what they're stumbling at. If you're broken in your emotions, you don't even know what it is that you're dealing with. You're so overcome by your emotions that you have no idea. And we need to stand on the Word of God above all else. Verses 10 to 13 say this, hear and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Why do we have Christians who die before their time? Right here. Because they haven't received his sayings. They've heard them, but they haven't received them. You've got to receive what God says, and your life, the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. What is wisdom? His word. I've taught you in the way of my word. I've led you in the right path. Again, what is the right path? The right path is walking in the word, because why? His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When you go, your steps will not be straightened. Now that means that your steps will not go the path to be straightened. They will walk in a certain way. They will walk according to the word. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, which is what? Isn't his word our instruction? Yes. Take fast hold of my word. Don't let it go, for it is your life. You want long life? Hold fast to the word. And this whole passage is about that. And then he goes on in verse 20, and he says, listen. Pay close attention to my words. Listen to what I say. Let not my word depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for my word is life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues or the forces of life. Whatever's going to put you over in life is going to come out of your heart. If your heart is within you and your heart has the shield of, has the breastplate of righteousness, then what's in your heart should be coming out according to the word of God. Put away from you a froward mouth. You know what a froward mouth is? A disobedient one. One that speaks contrary to the word. Remember in Numbers 14? When God was putting the Israelites, he took them right up to the promised land and he said, go see what I've given you. And they spoke with a froward mouth. A froward mouth is an abomination to God. God calls anything that you speak contrary to his word an abomination. You know what an abomination is? It's a hated thing before God. Witchcraft is an abomination. So therefore, when we don't believe and we speak contrary to the word of God, it's an abomination unto him. It's the same sin as witchcraft as far as God is concerned. It's the same sin as evil that he would can't do anything against. Now, going on here, if we put away from us the forward mouth and perverse lips, we're only going to be speaking the word. But who has to put them away? We do. He's not going to do it. He's going to give us the words to say, If we choose not to say them, then we are choosing the law of sin and death. Let your eyes look right on, meaning his word, and let your eyelids look straight before you. You don't need to look around, except look straight to the word of God. Ponder the path of your feet. Yeah, here we are again. What is the word is a light unto our feet, and a lamp unto our feet, and a light unto our path in the way we should go. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Take your foot from evil. How can my foot be an evil if I'm righteous? Because you're looking at the wrong thing, and you're saying the wrong thing, and you're doing the wrong thing. Now, God goes on and says, you know, division between chapter 4 and chapter 5. And God says, attend to my wisdom or my words. Bow your ear to my understanding, that your lips may keep knowledge. Verse 7 says, depart not from the words of my mouth. And verse 21 tells us, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders every way he goes. There's nothing we can hide from God. If we say the wrong thing, he hears it. Now what happens in Numbers 14? In Numbers 14:27, God calls it an evil congregation. They spoke perversely. They spoke with a froward mouth. I told them, go see what I've given you. They said, we can't do it. They spoke against God. Anytime you say you can't do something, anytime you are speaking against the word of God, you are an abomination to God, and you are giving an evil report or walking in the evil as they did. Numbers 14:28 says, only Caleb and Joshua received the promise. Why was that? Because Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit. What was their spirit? They would not be moved by what they saw. They were moved by their faith in God. They had, and they and their seed, because of their stand, were the only ones to inherit the promise. Now let me ask you something. Do you think that it was easy for Caleb and Joshua to be surrounded by 2.5 million people, all speaking negative, and they were the only two out of 2.5 million speaking the word of God? You know it wasn't easy. Besides that, they had to listen to mumble, mumble, grumble, grumble, complaining, moan, there, you should have stayed behind. Don't you think that would be wearing on you so much that you'd say, shut up, or let me out of here? They lasted for 40 years. What is that? That's an example of you and I. It doesn't matter how much we are surrounded by negative things and negative people and negative words, we can survive if we have the right spirit. And our spirit is right because we have the spirit of salvation. We already have it. Now back to Ephesians 6:15. While you're turning there, let me tell you Psalm 119, verse 101. David says, I have refrained my feet from evil so that I would keep your word. And you can turn that around and say, I have kept your word, therefore I refrain my feet from evil. All right. Now, your feet are shod, verse 15, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. From the neck down, you already have those three pieces of armor. You have the breastplate of righteousness, you have your loins girded with the truth, you have your feet shod with the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. The gospel is the peace of God that has a well understanding. The gospel is shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. Are you walking in shalom? Your feet are shod, that means they are planted in that. Are you walking in, I walk in peace, I have nothing missing and nothing broken? You know what the word of God says? The work of righteousness is peace. If you have on that breastplate of righteousness and you're moving that way, then you are going to say, mm-hmm, devil, I'm not disturbed, I have peace. Come on. Nothing missing, nothing broken in my life. Well, don't you see? Don't you see that these symptoms are on your body? That you have this lack in your life? That this one's against you and that one's against you? Nope. I don't see it. My eyes are fixed on the word, the peace. My work is sown in peace. And I rest The effect of righteousness is quietness. What is quietness? It means rest. So the effect of what I am and who I have and the salvation that is now, its effect is quietness. I'm not going to be in a tizzy. I'm not going to be running around pulling my hair out. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And say, no. I'm lifting my face with the word, which is the gospel, and I walk in that peace. Luke 1:79, talking about Jesus. He will guide our feet in the way of peace. Romans 16:20, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. People read that and wonder, what does he mean? I thought he was bruised. Yeah. Jesus did that at the cross. But you see, you have a part to play in God making Satan under your feet, bruising his head. How is that? If you don't stand on the word, God can't do it. If you do not stand on the word, God cannot do it. So when Paul writes here and to the Romans in 16:20, he says, the God of peace, shalom, with nothing missing and nothing broken, shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. He's already done it in Jesus, but if you don't know that's a part of your salvation, you're not going to walk that. And he will never be bruised under your feet. And what did God say to Jesus? Sit here, until your enemies be made your footstool. He did that. He made them his footstool. Now it's up to us to make the enemy our footstool, because we represent him here on the earth. What kind of a representative are we for Jesus if we are letting the devil run roughshod and we are defeated instead of walking in what God has given us to walk in? The grace of God, the ability, the capability, the equipment, the power, and the anointing is enough to put him under your feet. But if you don't stand in that, he's not going to be there. Ephesians 6:17. Now you take some armor. Remember, you have to take the whole armor. Now comes the part that you and I have to take. The rest is already on. From head to foot, the armor is already on every day of our lives. Take the helmet of salvation. Well, verse 16. Take the shield of faith. If you don't take the shield of faith, you're not going to be able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, the shield of faith is totally up to you. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? You have to take the shield of faith. When you get your shield of faith, let's just say that it's like a blank piece of paper. How much faith you put on your shield, and those of you may remember years ago when we were at the church in Burton, Tammy did three shields. She had a plain white shield, then she had a shield with some words written on it. Then she had a shield that was totally black with the Word of God, with every scripture filling up that shield. If you take your shield of faith and it's plain, you don't have a lot of faith. Every one of us has the measure. But the more words you put on your shield, the stronger your shield becomes. And look at this. If you have a word and a word and a word and a word and a word with a space in between, the fiery darts are going to be aimed where? Right between the words. But the more words you get, until there is no space, it will quench the fiery darts and they will not attack you. So, faith comes by hearing the word. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, you cannot use your shield. We have a certain amount of God's faith, but we have to take that and apply it and use it. That's why it says, you take the shield of faith, and you hold it up and quench all the fiery darts. And the next piece of equipment that you take is the helmet of all of salvation. The helmet of salvation is enough to totally protect what you see, what you hear, what you speak, and what you think. That's why you have to take it. If you're dressed in the armor and you don't have the helmet, guess what? Guess what? That's ready for the attack of the enemy. What you see, what you hear, what you think, and what you speak. And if you speak the wrong word, your helmet's off. Your helmet's off. We have the helmet of salvation. What we are in Him. Sozo, nothing missing, nothing broken, everything you need. Now, 2 Thessalonians 5:8 is talking, and the last part of that scripture says, the helmet is the hope. Your helmet is your hope. What is your hope? It's the highest degree of your expectation. So your helmet is protecting what you expect. Not what you see in the natural, but what you are expecting in the spiritual realm. Verse 17 says, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. You have to take it. You have to take the shield. With that shield of faith, you hold it up against the enemy and against him. With the helmet of salvation, you are in authority over what comes into your thought realm, into your soulish realm, and what you speak. And with the sword of the Spirit, you have to use the word. And if you do not use the word, you do not win the battle. The sword, the Holy Spirit will only move on the word of God. You can yell stop to the devil all you want. It's not going to do any good. But when you use the word of God, in the name of Jesus, in the power that He has given me, in the authority that I have over you, He's defeated. He has to obey the word. If we don't use it, He's not going to be defeated. The word has to be spoken out of your mouth. Not enough to have it sitting on a page. Not enough to carry it in your car. Not enough to read it once in a while. The word has got to be spoken for it to be effective against the enemy. Satan will only move on the word of God. The Holy Ghost will only move on the word of God. Therefore, who is the speaker of the word of God? You and I. In our situation, we determine which way we're going by the word that we speak. And if we don't speak the word of God, we're moving in the soulish realm, and we're moving into the lost and the dead. If we speak the word of God, we are walking in the righteous realm, we are walking in the realm of light, and we are speaking the word. Therefore, the Holy Spirit can move on that word on our behalf. Now, what happens if we mix it? The Holy Spirit moves, and He stops. Because you begin to speak negative. Then you speak the word again, and He begins to move again, and it stops. And so do the angels. Angels obey the command of the Lord. That doesn't mean, Lord, command my angel. It means you speak the word at His command, and the angels will move. Angels, you are sent to minister. Hebrews 1 tells us, you are sent to minister to the heirs of salvation, for the heirs of salvation. I am an heir, therefore you are sent to minister for me. In the name of Jesus, go forth. If you don't do that, they can't do anything. And there are people that teach, oh no, you can't command your angels. God commands them that you do so with His word, because His word is forever settled in heaven. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing apart of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and marrow, and the word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. The word of God is like a two-edged sword. A one-edged sword will just cut. You know, the two-edged sword is going to cut both ways. It's going to cut going in, going to cut coming out on both sides. And so what is He telling us here? First of all, the word is quick, the word is powerful. Now that doesn't mean it's always going to come real quick. It means that it is quick means to be powerful, and quick means to be used as God would have it to be used. It is forceful. It is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the soul and the spirit. The only thing, and listen to this, The only thing that can separate where you are moving in the soulish realm or in the spirit realm is the word. The word. You may think you are moving in the spirit realm, and as I said to you before, 99% of Christians move in the soulish realm. They think, oh, this is the spirit realm talking to me, this is God talking to me, and it isn't. They move by their soulish realm. You cannot see through that. Because the word is so sharp that it will separate those two. Are you moving in the soul realm? Or are you moving in the spirit realm? And not only that, it will separate the joints and the marrow. Now joints connect two things together. We are connected in the spirit realm by the blood of Jesus. We are connected in the spirit realm by the word. And the marrow is what flows through the bones. So whatever flows through your bones is going to be connected to your joints, and it will be separated by if it's the word or not. The last thing is, the sword is a discerner of the thoughts and intents. Well, I intended to do that, Lord. I thought that would be a good thing to do, and that's really what I intended to do, but I just never did it. He knows the difference. He knows what we think, and he knows what we intend to do. He knows that if we think, well, I'll do this for the children of God, but I really don't want to do that. We're fighting ourselves, is really what we're doing. So he knows the difference between your thoughts and your intention. And the Holy Spirit will only move on the Word of God. Therefore, if you don't speak the Word, you give God nothing to work with. All right? Proverbs 4:20-22, we've already covered. The Word is life and health. You've got to keep it and move on it. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You are either going to speak death to your situation or life to it. Not both. One or the other. If you speak both, you're treading water, you're going nowhere, nothing's going to be accomplished. Now, the last scripture that I'm going to use this morning is Philippians chapter 2. Beginning with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. In other words, think the way Jesus thought. Let the same mind that was in Jesus be in you. What was his thought? His thought was verse 6. Being not in the form of God, because he came as a man, he didn't think it was robbery to be equal to God. The word does not say equal with God. If you are equal with someone, you are on the same plateau as they are, the same level. If you are equal to them, you can do what they can do, but you are not them. And so, Jesus came to earth in the form of a man. Why? So that he could do what you and I could do. What are we to do? We are to be doing the things that God did, that Jesus did, even though we are not equal to him. But Jesus made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And it was while in the likeness of man that he held this thought, I can do what God says I can do. I can do it. Because of that, he became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. You want to see death in your life? The death of anything that's coming against you? You need to stand on the word. If you don't, you will see death of what you are believing for not come to pass. Because you cannot let anything, God says, my words are life, and my words are health. Therefore, what's going to bring death to your situation? The words of the enemy. The words of your emotions. The words of your soulish realm. Because of that, God also highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Who used the name? Everybody will say, oh, yeah, I use the name. Do you really use it? With authority in the name of Jesus. And when you are speaking it, Do you see that mountain crumble before you, or do you think, I don't know if I have to go over it because I can't get through it. It won't fall down, so I either have two choices. Either I have to go around it, or I have to go up over it. And in either case, it's going to take you a long time when you could go right on flat land, I speak in the Word of God, and believing what you think. You see, this is the thing, folks. We speak it all the time. There's a difference between believing that you receive when you speak it and just speaking it to speak it out of habit, out of ritual, and that's what we do. Well, I said it, I believe it, but it isn't happening. What about Abraham? What about Joseph? What about David? What about Jesus? When it gets to the point, and God has not allowed us this amount of time to live, but how many years from Genesis 3:15 until the birth of Jesus? 4,000. You think you got 4,000 years to live to stand on the Word? Praise God, He doesn't give us that long, because you know what? We'd never make it past the first one. Most of us do not. We give up after the first week. And so we keep on going here, and He says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. That means everything on the earth, in heaven, and things under the earth. That covers every area. From here to up there, everything's covered in the name of Jesus. All right? Verse 13. It is God which works in you to will and to do His good pleasure. What is God's will and His good pleasure for you and I? That we overcome. Now, all the armor is for us to overcome. All the armor is for us to win. But if we do not use it, we are not going to win. And verse 15 says, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. The word is life. The word is light. We are to be shining forth. How much light are we giving out? Are we giving out no camel power? Do people see that light in you? Do they see you succumbing? Or do they see just a little bit? And do they see it going more and more and more and more until they are blinded by the light of the word coming out of our mouths, so that they know that the word works? If the word isn't working in our lives, it's because we are not using what God has given us. We are not using salvation is now. And when we get to that point, we will be holding forth the word of life as light. You're not as bright as you would have your light to be, then you know what to do about it. We need to stand and believe in what we have received. We've already received it. Now faith is. Now salvation is. Faith is now. It's ongoing. You use your faith 5 minutes. Whatever happened 5 minutes ago can't be changed. But faith is now. Faith was 5 minutes ago. Faith was yesterday. Faith was last week. Salvation was last week. Salvation was yesterday. Salvation is today. Salvation will be again. Salvation is as ongoing as faith is. Amen? Father, we come in the name of Jesus and we thank you, Lord, that just as faith is now, we have had revealed to us that so is salvation. Sozo. Sozo. Peace. Shalom. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Complete and entire. Wanting nothing. Victory in every situation. Overcoming the enemy. Lord, you have given it all to us in Jesus. We believe that we received it. And Father God, my prayer for those that hear this message is that they will go forth in the newness of salvation is now. That we have on the armor, but there are some pieces of that armor that we have to put on. And if we don't put those extra pieces on, we're not going to win the battle. Because your word says, take the whole armor of God. We need the whole armor. Let that be a revelation to us, Lord, that we need to take and do our part in what your word has. You have given us your word. And if we don't use it, the Holy Spirit has nothing to work with. So, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you bring more and more victories into every one of our lives, that we believe, that we receive, that we walk in the salvation is now. We have on the whole armor of God, and we've done all, putting forth your word, believing your word, standing on your word, and withstanding the enemy. And we do see the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.